Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Democratic lawmakers have said it. Gun control activists have said it. Today, the Boston Globe said it too, loud and clear, in a special section wrapped around the front page. They said, make it stop. That's what's written in huge type over the Globe's editorial section today, which also featured a photograph of a semi-automatic rifle shown in actual size. The headline also runs in a large banner at the top of the Globe's website. Click on that and you get a special interactive editorial that asks readers to click on a link to tweet and email six senators who, quote, stand in the way of gun control. One click and readers send a pre-written tweet that reads, quote, the U.S. must ban semi-automatic weapons. Please help us end mass shootings. Well, the Globe has done this before, making a gutsy editorial the de facto front page. But should it be doing that? Is the newspaper declaring that the once vaunted wall between the newsroom and the editorial page a thing of the past? Well, Ethan Zuckerman has some perspective on this. He's the director of the Center for Civic Media at MIT, and he joins us now. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you, Meghna.
So first of all, Ethan, tell me, I mean, what did you think about today's Globe editorial that, as I'm calling it, served as the de facto front page?
Well, I think it is the front page. I think everyone's discussing it at the front page. I thought it was an extremely gutsy move. I thought it was surprising, but not at all inappropriate. I think it is a moment at which many people around the world are wondering when the United States is going to do something meaningful on gun control. And I think this is a newsroom that looked at this and said, we simply can't report this passively anymore. This is a moment at which it's not a matter of balancing between two sides. We really have to talk about how absurd the situation is in the United States at the moment.
Right. And I mean, not just talk about, but the Globe is encouraging people to take action. So as you said, the opposite of passivity. I mean, as we mentioned, the editorial on the website just takes you directly to a little box where you can click one link and you send a tweet to these six senators they've identified, including New Hampshire's Kelly Ayotte, for asking them to help move congressional legislation on gun control. Is that unusual for a newspaper to make it that easy to take some form of action?
It's unusual, but I don't think it's unprecedented. And I think there's a pretty good argument that it's the right thing for a newspaper to be doing. So first of all, the U.S. tends to have a stance against advocacy journalism. We tend to have this very strong sense that we want our newspapers to give us all sides of the story. The place where we are not as insistent about this is on the editorial page. And so we're comfortable with the editorial page endorsing political candidates, but we don't expect it generally to be part of the rest of the newspaper. That attitude is less common in other parts of the world. So for instance, the Guardian newspaper in London did a big campaign more than a year ago where they partnered with 350.org, the climate change organization, and actively rallied readers to start pressuring two large charitable trusts to divest from fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular case, that newspaper essentially designed the campaign and tried to mobilize its readers over the course of weeks and months to get active around the issue.
Right. So, Ethan, if I can just jump in here, I mean, the Guardian's a really interesting example because it has a long history of being a crusading liberal newspaper. I think even if in its charter it's written that that is its mission, but that's not the same for the Boston Globe. I mean, they did receive some pushback from some readers. Someone put on NECN's Facebook post about the Globe, someone commented that the Boston Globe should report the news and not play politics. So is the Globe at risk of seeing of readers believing that it has compromised its journalistic neutrality in the rest of the paper by putting this kind of activist editorial on the front page?
Sure. The U.S. has different attitudes towards this than Europe generally has. And generally speaking, in a lot of the rest of the world, we're used to more advocacy coming from our journalism organization. In the U.S., we've seen pretty strong adherence to this idea that we want to be politically neutral, except on the editorial page. What's interesting is that that's changing. It's changing as the media is changing. Newspapers are perhaps the last to change in all of this, but we've certainly seen cable news networks getting very active in trying to mobilize their viewers. We've seen Fox News literally inviting people to participate in political rallies. And we've certainly seen digital native media be less shy about this aspiration to objectivity than we have the traditional newspapers. Yeah. I want to make the argument that the Globe may be doing something very important here. I think a real danger for the mainstream press at the moment is that we end up giving readers learned helplessness. We feel like we're telling people the story, but we're not telling people anything that they can actually do about it. And so what happens is, in the case of these mass shootings, we hear again and again and again about these tragedies, and it's very, very easy to read this and end up at a point where you feel completely helpless, even if you're well-informed.
Yeah.
What the Globe is now doing is going a step further and saying, look, we think it's time to help you figure out as a citizen how you would take effective action on this if you believe that action is what needs to be taken.
Right. So,
in that sense, I think they're actually fighting against a much deeper danger than losing some of their program readers. I think they're fighting against losing their relevancy in general.
Yeah. So on that point, I should note that we did reach out to the Globe and asked Globe editor Brian McGrory if he could join us, and we also asked Ellen Clegg, who's the editorial page editor, if she could join us. They were both unable to, but they did send us a statement in which Ellen Clegg wrote in the statement that the Boston Globe has pulled together these facts and this editorial about semi-automatic weapons and mass shootings to encourage a national conversation. What can we do to make it stop? What do we want for future generations? We hope our words speak for themselves. So finally, Ethan, I'm curious, Dan Kennedy, you know, a very well-regarded media critic and analyst here in the Boston area, wrote today that the problem with such campaigns is that even when they're effective at making their case, they're ineffective in actually changing anyone's minds. And I'm wondering if you think that's true, and if so, what does that mean for the Globe's attempts to do so?
So I think it's incredibly difficult to change people's minds around issues like gun control. I think it's one of these issues where many people have actually thought about it and probably have fairly well-established points of view on it. Where I do think there's the possibility of changing minds is essentially in saying, look, we probably can't solve the whole problem of how the United States regulates or doesn't regulate firearms, but here is an issue where it may be time to say we need to make a change around it. And this question of semi-automatic, large magazine capacity weapons seems like a place where there might be the ability of mobilizing people who are aware of the fact that these mass shootings are happening very regularly, are aware of the fact that these mass shootings often are using these AR-15-style weapons, and building political momentum around the idea of doing something specifically on that front. I don't know that the Globe's work today, which I'm an admirer of, is necessarily going to change a lot of minds. I do think it's going to help readers who feel helpless around this issue find a way to be more active as citizens. And I think that's a great thing for newspapers to be doing, to help people take action as citizens. Where it's probably not helpful is for people who don't end up agreeing with the Globe's stance and are likely to feel somewhat alienated by this. I think the Globe made a brave move deciding that they were willing to alienate some readers and work on this question of helping other readers mobilize and make a change.
Ethan Zuckerman is the director of the Center for Civic Media at MIT. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Nice to talk to you.
Well, the Globe's editorial that we've been talking about was, of course, inspired by the Orlando shooting. Here in Boston, mourners remembered another victim of gun violence as they filled the Charles Street African Methodist Episcopal Church in Dorchester today. They were there for funeral services for 17-year-old Raekwon Brown. He's the junior who was shot and killed near the Jeremiah Burke High School last week. Yolanda Williams shared memories of her cousin.
Loving, kind, a teddy bear, a real teddy bear. Somebody just, that was always there for you.
Williams also said that there aren't enough alternatives in Boston to help young people turn away from violence.
I mean, the kids have nothing nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have nothing. We used to have all these programs growing up. Now we have nothing. And all these, I mean, he wasn't hanging out, but whomever did this, they see that as a way of life.
That's Yolanda Williams, cousin of 17-year-old Raekwon Brown. Boston Police and Suffolk District Attorney Dan Connolly are continuing their investigation into the shooting. They have not yet identified a suspect and are asking the public to come forward with any information they might have. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.